All right, if you'll take your Bibles and let's turn to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13, and we're going to read the first 17 verses. Last week we dealt with the first three verses here. And we're going to deal with the rest of it, but I want to get the context of it. So John 13, verse number 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put now into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Now, we began last week, as I said, looking back at the first three verses of John 13 as we looked at the setting for what we just read. And this is Jesus' humble service to his disciples in washing their feet. And we pointed out a few important things that I'll remind you of. First of all, we said that Jesus knew that his hour had come. That means that he knew that he was about to go to the cross. In fact, this was the night that he would be betrayed. This would be the night that he would be arrested and tried. Jesus loved his disciples to the end is another thing. And that love is what took him to the cross. And that love is what caused him to do what we see here. He was trying to teach them a lesson. And this was a teaching moment with his disciples. And John indicates here that the Passover supper had ended. And that's important because of what we saw in Luke's account of the Last Supper last week. Specifically, the disciples had some strife going on about them, of which of them should be accounted greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus' words to his disciples about their strife are recorded in Luke 22, and we read this last week. I'm just going to read it to you again. Luke 22, verse 25, "And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." So really, Jesus was pointing this out with what he was doing to them. That he, though he was master, he was serving them. And so let's look a little bit farther in this passage and see what it really means to serve. Jesus knew that His hour had come, but His disciples were involved in this power struggle. And so Jesus taught them some things here by this example that we see. So we see the humble act of service by Jesus in the verses 4 through 11. Now I want you to notice the demonstration of royal service, verse number 4 and 5. It says here, He rises from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Now, the service was royal because it was being performed by Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. And there is none greater than Jesus. Christ and Christ alone was and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? King of Kings and Lord of Lords washing your feet. Jesus knew who He was, yet He humbled Himself. Verse 3 talks about how He knew who He was, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and went to God. So Jesus knew that His Heavenly Father had given Him all things into His hands, and all power, authority, glory, and honor was His. Jesus knew that He was come from God, His Heavenly Father, and He knew that He would be returning to God, His Heavenly Father, very soon to take His place at the right hand of God on the throne. Yet He who was and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords laid aside His clothing and began to wash the feet of mere men. Sinful men. They were sinful men. And the master became the slave here. Now, the washing the feet of folks who came into your residence was you would give that to a servant, a slave, if you had it, to wash the feet. We see the highest took the place of the lowest. Jesus, I want you to understand, He even washed the feet of the one who would soon leave Him and betray Him. Think about that. He washed Judas Iscariot's feet. Jesus even washed the feet of the one who would deny Him with an oath on this very night, Simon Peter, the one that was wanting to resist Him washing his feet, Jesus washed his feet knowing ahead of time that Simon would betray Him. In fact, Jesus washed the feet of each of these disciples of His who would all forsake Him and flee just a little bit later. Jesus was doing precisely what He taught previously as recorded in Matthew 20. Hold your place there and just turn. This is just the one place I'm going to have you to turn, and we'll turn back to our text. But it'll sound familiar because I just quoted it from Luke, but this is an earlier account. Okay? So Jesus would tell His disciples and He would tell them again and they still didn't get it. Well, this is when He had told them earlier, before the supper. Before His triumphal entry. We're already beyond the triumphal entry, but this was before the triumphal entry. Matthew 20, look at verse number 24. And this is right after James and John's mom tried to come and convince Jesus to put her two boys at the right hand and left hand when Jesus came to His kingdom. And so, again, the setting is strife, right? There was a struggle of who's going to be the greatest. And verse number 24, look at verse 24. And when the ten heard it, other than James and John, okay, when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. It's like, how dare they do that? But Jesus called them unto Him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus talked about, he came as a servant. Amen. Jesus came as a servant. He came to minister. And that particular ministering that he came to do is to give his life for folks. Now, minister means a servant. It's the same word that we get the word deacon from. You know, deacons are supposed to be servants in the local church. It's one who serves or one who waits. And when the first deacons were chosen, they were chosen to wait tables. It's what they were chosen for. And then the servant there, the word servant means a bond slave. A slave who does whatever service the master requires. In other words, you know, whatever the master, he was at the beck and call of the master. Whatever the master wanted, the servant was bound to do. Who was the greatest sitting at the Lord's table? Well, of course, it was Jesus, right? And that's where we find him in our text in John 13. Now, though he was the greatest, yet Jesus humbled himself to serve those who were with him. And I want you to think of Jesus' true humble service to this world. And he just mentioned it, what we just read there in Matthew 20, verse 28. And that is, he came into the world to give his life a ransom. And Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8 talk about that humility and that giving of himself. It says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus served us in what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, we notice not only the demonstration of royal service here, but I want you to notice the misunderstanding of that service. And let's take a look first at verse number 6. Because we see when Jesus approached Peter to wash his feet, Peter protested. And then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know, like, I don't think so. I mean, that was the idea here. In fact, Jesus told Peter that he didn't understand what was happening then, but he would understand it all later there. In verse number 7, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now. You're not understanding, Peter, what I'm doing. But later you're going to understand it. But thou shalt know hereafter. And then Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Now, we note Peter's foolish response. I mean, this is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is God in the flesh, and you're telling him what he's not going to do? Peter is known for opening his mouth and inserting his foot. Yeah. Well, Peter's words here are emphatic in the Greek language that they're translated from. I mean, it was very, very strong, very forcefully like, that's never going to happen. It would be like us saying that. You know, we need to be aware of using absolute words regarding what we will or will not do or will not allow. Now, you ever made a statement, well, you know, I'll never do thus and so. I know I never had any aspirations to move up north. And when I was looking for ministries, I would look around down south, but the Lord led me to a church up north where I pastored 8.5 years. And it's, you know, humbling for the Lord to do that to you. But he does that. And I would never say never again. Okay? Because I'm afraid the Lord would call me up north. I'm a southern boy. And I like it down here. But the Lord used us up there, and he knows what he's doing. Amen. But Jesus rebuked Peter for his response there in the latter part of verse number 8. Jesus answered him and said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, after Jesus rebuked Peter, Peter changed his tune, asking Jesus to wash other parts as well. Verse number 90, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Well, you know, he's backpedaling. Isn't that what you call backpedaling? Yeah. He's just been very, very vocal. And once again, open mouth, insert your foot, Peter. Peter once again reveals that he doesn't have a clue as to what is going on here, what the Lord is doing. Now, Jesus used a common picture to illustrate a spiritual truth to his disciples. As they traveled on the dusty roads, they wore sandals, or they were barefoot. Most of the time they wear sandals, but kicking dirt, dusty roads, what happens? Your feet get dirty. And so it was common courtesy extended to guests. They didn't need a complete bath, but just they needed their feet washing. And so when you would go into someone's home, they would wash your feet. And this was none of their homes here that they were in. This was a special place that someone opened for the Lord to be able to have the Last Supper with his disciples. But none of the disciples had bothered to humble themselves and say, "Hey, I'll be the one that will wash the feet because we don't have a servant here." None of them did that. But Jesus did. Amen. Jesus did. Most folks misunderstand the mission and service of Christ. We know that he came to provide washing and cleansing from sin to all of us sinners. Amen. Aren't you glad you've been washed in the blood? I like this song. Would you be freed from your passion and pride? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know, we are washed in the blood. Every one of us. And thereby, we're saved from death, from condemnation, from hell. He came to cleanse mankind with that once and for all washing that we needed. When you get saved, you don't need another washing in that regard. His blood made us acceptable to God and fit for heaven for all eternity. He came to cleanse mankind that we might be fit to serve God both now and forever. Now, Jesus washing his disciples' feet did have a spiritual meaning here, though. He was teaching them about their need for daily forgiveness. We all have a need for daily forgiveness, don't we? I mean, as we walk in this world, we know that our feet get dirty, spiritual feet. When Jesus said in verse number 10 there that once you're washed, you're cleansed. Once a man is washed, he's already clean. Verse number 10, Jesus said unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all." Now, when Jesus said here, "And ye are clean, but not all," he was indicating that the disciples had received that initial washing, but not all of them had. When he said, "But not all." And we're given the interpretation of that in verse number 11. "For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean." So he was referring to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was not saved. He was lost. He was a devil from the beginning. We know that Peter had already been cleansed. Therefore, he did not need another bath. He didn't need another experience of being saved and cleansed. But know what he did need. He needed to have his feet to be cleansed. And that's the picture given by Jesus. As Peter and the other disciples walked through this world, they would pick up some of the dust and dirt, spiritually speaking, of the world. They needed to ask Jesus to cleanse them from that pollution which they picked up. And that's the gist of how the Apostle John put us in his first epistle in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the verses before that and the verses after that make us understand that there's none of us that don't apply to. Yeah? If you say you're without sin, you ain't right. you don't understand very much. Salvation is eternal, thank God. But saints' feet tend to get dirty. So we see the humble act of service by Jesus. And then we see Jesus' application of what He demonstrated here. Look at verse number 12. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? The answer would have been no. They didn't realize what Jesus had done to them. And then verse 13, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Listen, as believers and followers of Jesus, Jesus is our Master and Lord. What does that mean? Well, He's Master. He's a teacher. And we did recently on Sunday evenings, and I've even been pointing out while we're here in John, doing what Jesus did. We've been looking at what Jesus did as we've been going through John's Gospel, right? We did a little short series on Sunday evening, doing what Jesus did, and looked at some specific things. And I told you, continue to look in Bible, and you'll see more of these things. And here's one. Okay, Jesus taught by example, and he was teaching them a spiritual truth. And a Lord is one who is above us in rank. See, a lot of folks think that Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord is just like, we got three names. Jesus had three names. That ain't it. Lord means that He is above us in rank and respect and has a right to issue commands. A Lord. And that's why He said in Luke 6:46, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? When Jesus said, you ought to do this, and they weren't doing it, He said, hey, look, you call me Lord, but you're not treating me like Lord. So if Jesus, our Master and Lord, humbled Himself to serve us, how much more should we be willing to humble ourselves to serve Him by humbly serving each other? That's the question. Look at verse 14 to 15. He says, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now listen, a follower of Christ is more than just someone who believes on Christ. A follower or disciple, a disciple is a follower, one that sits under a teacher, one that sits under a master. A follower of Christ is to be a servant of Christ. Now, as such, he does not act on his own or do his own thing. He's a slave with no rights. We have to look to the Lord about what we should be doing. We are to be at the beck and call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to do His will, whatever it is, whenever it is, and wherever He tells us to do it. Whatever, whenever, wherever. Now, as a servant, He exists solely to serve His Lord. And that's the way we ought to be. As a servant, we ought to exist solely to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to follow His example by serving one another just as He served. Now, so what is the bottom line of this lesson? Verse 16 to 17 here, look what it says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So what's the bottom line? Well, let's talk about what it's not first. Jesus was not establishing foot washing as a ceremony or religious rite. Okay? How can we know that? Well, because the gist of the whole story is a spiritual application of personal service. It's a spiritual application of personal service. And because Jesus has never physically washed any of our physical feet. Has Jesus washed your feet? Your physical feet? He hadn't, has he? Okay? He was talking to his disciples that he just washed their feet. He says, you know, I've given you an example that I should do as you've done unto me. But it was not the actual physical foot washing. It was about personal service. He washes our spiritual feet, yes, Jesus does, as we confess our sins to Him. But He doesn't wash our physical feet. And listen, because we know that this is not to be a ceremony, a religious rite, because it was done for a teaching purpose rather than for a custom. It was to teach us about humble service. And last of all, and this I think this is probably easy to understand, the disciples never practiced it or taught it as a ceremony. You won't see it mentioned anywhere else as a practice or as a ceremony. So it's not like that the Lord was establishing another ordinance that we are to follow. No, the thing He wants us to follow is to serve one another. That's what He wants to do. Humble ourselves and serve one another. Jesus was teaching His disciples and us to serve one another in humility by love. Rather than striving with one another about position and rank as they had been doing, they were to serve one another in humility and love. Has someone fallen into sin and needs a hand to get up again? What's your response to that? Is it to kick them while they're down? That's not a Christian response, is it? Oh, it is try to help them get up again if they have fallen. Help them get up again. In Galatians 6, verse 1 through 4 tells us that. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See? How do we fulfill what the Lord did here? Well, one way is by helping those that have fallen. Help them get back where they need to be. Are you walking in Christ's love, or are you just talking about it? Ephesians 5, verse number 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We are to walk in love. In fact, look at there in John 13, toward the end of the chapter, verse 34 and 35. We'll preach on this later, but he does mention this here. In verse 34, he's talking to his disciples here. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So it's a badge of our discipleship. It's a badge of saying, hey, look, I'm a Christ follower. It's by how we treat the brethren. And in fact, if you want to check your love out, I'm not going to take time to turn there this morning, but if you turn to 1 Corinthians 13 when you get home and read 1 Corinthians 13, it'll tell you what that love is supposed to be. That charity is how it's referred to in 1 Corinthians 13. It's a love that seeks the highest good for another. Here's one that is overlooked a lot. Is there someone in need of your forgiveness? Sadly today, there's a lot of folks walking around with unforgiven spirit. If somebody needs your forgiveness, just forgive them already. And so, well, they hadn't asked me to forgive them. It don't matter. Just go ahead and forgive them. Just go ahead and forgive them. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Hebrews 12:14-15, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So sad that so many believers are walking around with bitterness in their heart toward someone, and they're so unwilling to forgive. The servant of Jesus Christ serves Jesus in happy obedience by serving others. Once again, it isn't enough to know what to do. We must do it, right? We must do it. It's one thing to be willing to serve Jesus, but to do so, we must humble ourselves and serve one another. Sometimes it's going to take some humility on your part. In fact, most of the times it will. Christ has humbly served each of us by what He did at Calvary. And the question is, do you know Him today? And I trust that you do. And if you don't know Him, come to Him today. He humbly came to this earth. He left the portals of heaven. Think about it. Didn't have to come, but He did. And He came, humbled Himself, came in the form of man. God came in the form of man. He was the Emmanuel, God with us. And He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, Bible puts it. And He went to the cross and He gave Himself so that we might have eternal life. Embrace that eternal life that He gives and understand that Christ's cleansing is available to us as we dirty our feet walking in this sinful world. I wonder, believer, do you go to Him regularly for cleansing? You've heard me say over the years, in the last 13 years I've been here, talk about keeping short accounts with God. It's good every day, or even immediately after you know that you've messed up, say, "Lord, that wasn't the way I should be. Forgive me." And we all still continue to come short of God's glory, don't we? Christ would have us follow His example of loving, humble service. The question is, are you serving Him? Let's pray. Father, we